Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. And what's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? And what do you think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell. We know that it's probably magic. Have you been half asleep? And have you heard voices? I've heard them calling my name. Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailors? The voice might be one in the same. I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Hello, Brooklyn. This is What is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. It's me, Sasha Sugar. I'm so excited to be here with you and with Willie Nelson, of course. Why not? Hope you're having a great day. And I can't wait to introduce my guest today. So before I introduce my amazing guest, just a few words about the center I've been going to in the past year. Maharos is a beautiful spiritual center for healing in Greenpoint, and I've been attending it to visit Dharmapunks meditation lecture with Josh Korda. I've also tried a few other workshops in the center, and it's really been a great experience. And what I've noticed that I never really saw on you the creator or the founder of the center. Everything seems to operate so organically and seamlessly at Maha Rose that you don't even question. You don't question the creator of it. It's just like so beautiful and natural. Usually when you go to a spiritual center in New York, the personality of the founder is so present, and it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing, but it's almost like you can see that, okay, this center is a product or a child of this person, and I can see personality of the person in the creation. Whereas at Maha Rose, it's a really collaborative, seamless, organic vibration. I mean, I don't even know how to explain it in words. You have to see it for yourself. So I've never questioned I never thought about it. And then at some point I was like, no, hold on, Sasha. Somebody did create this place. It didn't just happen to be in Greenpoint. Somebody did put an effort and love and intention for this place to appear and to prosper. And that's how I kind of decided to find out, okay, who is the founder? And voila. So Maha Rose's founder, Lisa Levine, almost like James, the James, the Levine, but much better. Lisa Levine is here today. It was me in the studio of What Is Love show on Radio Free Brooklyn. Hello, Lisa.
Hi.
Oh, she is alive. She's real. If you don't believe me, check out our Instagram post and you'll see the story. She is real and she's beautiful and she's so, oh my God, she's so amazing. Her energy is just, so delicious. Lisa, thank you so much for coming to my show. I know you received my email invitation when you were in Mexico on the retreat. So a special thank you that you were able to respond from abroad. And I'm so excited to see you here. I think we'll start with just tell us about what is Maha Rose. You know, you have created it, and it's almost like with any artwork, to fully understand the art, the masterpiece, you need to know from the perspective of the creator, because otherwise, I mean, it's great when people can interpret masterpiece in their own ways, but it's also interesting to know what is this masterpiece in your own eyes, in the eyes of creator. So what is Maha Rose? What's the story?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's really such a treat, and you have such beautiful energy. It's more than the lipstick. The lipstick's great, but it's a lot more, and it's really fun to be here, and thank you so much. Everybody has a really different take on Maha Rose, and it's so fun to just hear different people's perspectives, and I'm glad that you had that experience, like, oh, this just came into being, and it certainly wasn't just my creation. You know, so many people are involved in Maha Rose, and that's on the earth realm. On the angelic realm, there's so many angels and so many light beings and ascended masters that just surround and protect the space and assist in the work and are happy that it's happening. So it definitely is a team effort.
Oh, I love how you included angels into your team. And I love how we don't even question that anymore. You know, the existence of the angels. It's so amazing when I can talk to people and we don't even have to question that or discuss that. We know it's true.
I think in some of the early days too, I would talk about we. Like, people would ask me about Maha Rose and I'd say we, and they'd say, well, who is this we? I'd be like, well, me and the angels. Like, it never felt like an I thing. And yes, lots of earth angels, humans. And the roots, you know, I used to live in that space. I moved into that space in 2003, back when I first moved to New York to be in the jewelry world. My background is in fine art. So certainly when you talk about it, Maha Rose being a creation, I feel like it is a very creative, a creative healing center. And I think people who are drawn to Maha Rose, it is in big part because there is that really creative aspect. It's not, it's always changing. It's always transforming. And the workshops are creative and the physical space is creative. And so I just appreciate you pointing that out. So yeah, I moved to New York City in 2003 after graduating from art school and feeling like, what am I going to do?
Where did you move from?
I spent a year in Pittsburgh, which is where I grew up. And before that, though, I finished art school in Oakland, California in 2003. Okay. So I moved back to Pittsburgh for a year and was really after, you know, obtaining a degree in fine art, was like, how am I going to make a living? And took some massage courses, which was something, a skill I just kind of had.
How am I going to support my living? I took some massage courses.
Yeah.
And massage will get you a long way.
Well, it didn't at the time because I tried to set that up in Pittsburgh and it really didn't. So, and then I started making jewelry again, which is something I had done even in like grade school and high school, and right away saw that it could be successful and moved back to New York, moved into Green Street, 97 Green Street, 2003, and just kind of dove headfirst into the fashion world, into having my own business. I didn't really know much about business. I didn't know much about fashion. And I did that really intensively for about 5 years. And it was a couple years in, my dear friend Padma Gonzalez would visit me every year from Mexico. And 1 year, maybe 2006, she was like, you better get some tools, honey, because you're going to make yourself sick. You're working so hard and you need to get some tools to take care of yourself. And, you know, jumping forward many years, I think that's why many people come to Maha Rose, women and men also, but a lot of women who move to New York for one thing, work really hard. You know, this is a city of hard, hard workers and long hours and ambitious, creative people. But then, you know, at some point we get burnt out and we're like, we need more. And, you know, people find yoga, they find meditation, and, you know, we need these tools. And then beyond those tools, you know, the tools that Maha Rose offers is Reiki and breathwork and community.
Right. So so many things right away. So for you, the origin of Maha Rose are not necessarily from the spiritual aspect, but from the kind of boosting your own creativity, boosting your health, healing perspective. Like if you were to kind of categorize or classify the services that you guys provide at Maha Rose.
Okay, so backing up again. Sorry, it's a long story.
We had a full hour.
Okay, good. We'll use it. So, yes. Yeah, so she was like, you need to get some tools. And I was like, yes, tools. And I remember walking down the street and just kind of praying, you know. I definitely believed in God. I believe in the universe. I grew up, my mother was Christian. My dad was Jewish. I had a Buddhist stepmother. You know, I was exposed to lots of different religions.
I love it.
None of those were exactly my path, but I definitely believed in a higher power and was like, I need help. What, you know, I do. I need help. And some days later, I went into a yoga class with a good friend of mine. And I had been to some yoga classes before, but never really the right class at the right time. And this was the right class at the right time.
Was it a regular Vinyasa
class? It was like a New York, like classic rock, advanced headstands, handstands, but very spiritual also, actually, like a great, it was at Go Yoga back when it was in the mini mall in Williamsburg with Michael Hewitt. And it was just the right class at the right time. And I had a really cathartic experience and, you know, body shaking, releasing stress, crying, and was like, yoga, I get it. I get why people love yoga, and got really into yoga, got really into meditation from there. From there, met my spiritual teacher, Amma. That was the summer of 2007. And we started just a small meditation group in the living room at what was then Maha Rose, but we were still living there, a few of us. And also my teacher, Padma, would come and she would work with me and then friends of mine and then friends of friends, and that kind of grew. And it grew very slowly and organically. I'm going to jump forward a little bit until at some point I did my Reiki master's. I studied breathwork with David Elliott. And then I decided to go to acupuncture school and finished in 2013. And that's when we were like, let's make Maha Rose a real business, a, you know, real, quote unquote, real business. And it really just took off from there. You know, the early days, it was mostly our friends and some friends of friends. And, you know, all it was the right time and people were ready and people started coming.
Did you guys do a lot of, was mostly word of mouth, or did you guys do any
at that point
promotion, posters?
Yeah, we did, we redid the website, which before that, Luke Simon, who was a really early friend and collaborator and really, yeah, like godfather of Maha Rose, had made the website. And at this point, we redid it with like another designer. And we did, I don't think it was right away, but maybe the next year we started a press push also. And coming from fashion, we decided to reach out to fashion and beauty and wellness editors rather than yoga and meditation magazines, which instead of like preaching to the choir of people who are already interested in these things, like let's reach other women who might be interested in these things. And it really worked. And definitely
what was the message that you thought would appeal to just women from the outside of a spiritual community?
Right. I mean, really, we just invited people in for sessions. We were like, come try Reiki. Come try hypnotherapy. Come.
Let's demystify those weird sounding
practices. Yeah. Yeah. And the early press, certainly people who came in were really skeptical. And all the early press pieces have this like, I tried Reiki. Did it work? I don't know. Yes. Oh, I think it did work. And, you know, now some years later, you know, people are still coming in for their press appointments, but they're less skeptical. And I think it has become more understood like, oh, these things actually really do work. And we don't have to, we don't, you know, if there's skepticism, that's fine. There's skepticism, but and that's not a block to healing at all. But we don't have to have, we don't have to be skeptical. We can just try these things.
We can just try the things.
Why not?
Why not? Exactly. I'm so glad to see this shift in the community, at least in New York, of the people just wanted to be the better versions of themselves, be the more healed people, more spiritual. Actually, a lot of my friends, I'm coming from the atheistic background, sarcastic atheistic background. and still some people in my circles, they kind of love when I say spiritual awakening. How would you define that? What is spiritual awakening to you? And I think it's everybody's responsibility to kind of wake up in one way or another, but
no pressure.
No pressure. But yeah, dude, wake the fuck up. It's time. What is that? And how do you at Maha Rose help people to wake up?
I think spiritual awakening, I think we probably have many. If we're like, I want spirituality in my life and I want more in my life, like I want a deeper connection in my life, that's generally the intention or the prayer, or maybe just the I need help leads us to a deeper connection with spirit. Certainly, mine wasn't an overnight thing. It was process, and there were lots of little ones and oh this and oh that, and I still have these aha moments of oh, we are just made of pure light and pure love, and when we have those kind of flashes, then that's food for us. And it's like, oh, whatever's going on externally in my life, having those points of contact internally with oneness, with pure bliss, pure love. If we have those moments, even, you know, at the beginning, they're just maybe few and far between, but just that tiny glimmer, that spark of, whoa, there is a lot more to life than maybe I realized.
Yeah. Even your workshop, maybe we can talk a bit about that. I attended Lisa's breathwork workshop a few nights ago on Friday. I did cry out a bit, actually. It was great. I at some point I felt the you can't really put it into words,
it's
but
hard.
Your experience. Like seriously, but I felt at some moment so that I am love. Like I actually felt it that the unconditional love is what I am. Mm. And that's it. All the fears, all the insecurities, the shame, the blocks that I've been carrying all my life, they were just kind of like, no, there's no need for them. Because deep down, my foundation is love. That's it. Like, I'm winning any freaking time because I am love. You can do whatever the fuck you want, but I am love. Of course, it was, you know, there were no cursing words in my experience, but it's really hard to put in words. But in that workshop, you do feel, you do realize that even if you're atheist or whatever your spiritual path is, or the path of mindfulness, you do realize in that workshop that there is much more to life as we say it or experience it with our five senses. Mm-hmm. So, and you stop question that. That's it. You stop question existence or the high intelligence or existence of the spiritual life. So could you tell us a bit more of the breath work that you teach and how you got into that? Like, why? Because you offer so many courses and workshops, by you I mean Maharos at the center. Why breath work, for instance?
This specific breath work, so there's many different types of breath work, but this is a three-part breath that's all through the mouth. It's into the lower belly, the upper chest, and then out. And you're laying down and you're guided. And what it really does is help to cut off the day-to-day mind that's just like, blah, 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 I gotta do this, I gotta do that, I forgot that. Yeah, exactly, the monkey mind. It helps to really, disconnect the monkey mind and get you in touch with deeper levels of your own spirit and physically, emotionally. It's not always pure bliss. Sometimes we have to, sometimes there's great tears or great anger or great fear, other things. Other emotions come to the surface to be cleaned out. The breath literally just scrubs the emotional body and excavates other things that are ready to be released. And then underneath that, often, not every time for everybody, but we do get to this place of deeper connection and bliss and love and, oh, that's who I really am. And I think it helps to disconnect us from our stories around, or beliefs.
Perceptions about ourselves.
Beliefs around shame or whatever. And again, like when you have those moments of, oh, that's who I really am. It's not that you're not going to go back into the whatever belief, but the more times that we can connect with that, this is who I really am, then the other stories lose their strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, this is not a one-time thing, obviously. It's funny, but I did, a year ago, I did my first holotropic breathwork. Mm-hmm. I think it's called holotropic.
And it's very similar.
Yeah, but I did it for 3 hours. I'm not joking. And I had zero experience. Oh. Zero. Like, I saw, because basically, the first 3 hours, I was a sitter, so I was helping another person, and then we would rotate. Mm-hmm. And so when I was a sitter, I saw around in the room that some people were having quite an experience, crying, laughing, dancing, singing. I was like, holy moly, did they take an LSD or something? And then I was so excited about my own experience. So then 3 hours later, we rotated, and I was doing the breath work. And it did nothing to me for 3 hours, nothing. I was so disappointed because also it was expensive, but whatever. But now only what it was with you, like about 40 minutes of that breath work, maybe even less, 35, 40. Yeah, 35. And it was a game changer. Like, I felt the sensations and I did cry in the beginning as well. Yeah. So my point is that it's a work. And you need to keep trying doing it. And then also at different times of your life, you might get a different result. And because I guess your body knows better when it's time to release the thing that it should release.
Yeah.
So, and guys, I highly, highly recommend you to try it with Lisa. It might be a life changer for you.
And we generally have breath work every Friday evening at Maha Rose. Sometimes it's with me. We have a couple other amazing practitioners. Debbie Atias does them very regularly. Regina Wolf does them. But Friday nights we have them. So yeah, they're all, I recommend all of these women and myself too. They're great. And the other thing, everybody holds space really differently. So the space that I held versus the space that was held for you when you were doing the holotropic breathwork. Yeah. There's whenever working with a teacher or a practitioner, there's the right acupuncturist for you at the right time. And it's always changing. So, if you try something and it's not quite the right fit, I would say don't, you know, maybe it's not the right modality, but I always say this with acupuncture, like if it's not the right, if it didn't, you know, if you didn't have that, like, this is it moment, like maybe try a different acupuncturist because there's a lot of different styles.
That's what I'm kind of doing now with churches. Every Sunday I go to a different church and trying to, you know, see if there is a clinic.
Find your church. Yeah.
Yeah. And
so far?
So far, yeah. Oh, my spiritual healer says, Ash, you got to create your own church. Mm. Said, okay, I'll think about it. Mm. But anyways, guys, keep trying, keep pushing. It's gonna click. One day it's going to click. Did you have a aha experience with breath work when you did the first time?
Oh yeah. And I think the first time I did it, the very first time I did it was a one-on-one session with Scott Schwenk, and that was probably 2008. And I mean, I just cried and cried and cried and cried and cried, and I don't even remember, but it was deep. I went places and released.
Do you remember which places you went to? Or because that's an interesting part.
I know.
When you cry, right, it's kind of your body cries without you necessarily knowing why it cries. And sometimes you know exactly why it cries.
Gosh. It was a time where I really like was doing a lot of different spiritual practices, and I had just met Amma, and things were just moving. You know, I was just excavating things.
You were on the journey.
Daily. I was deep in the journey. Deep excavations, and yeah, I don't even remember the stories or anything, but he was in town from LA, and I definitely and he was like, I'm going to be teaching this, like a healer training one this weekend, and I was like, sign me up, I'm doing it. So just dove in right away. I was like, this is amazing.
Wow. Well, going back to Maharo's story, so you guys have so many interesting workshops at the moment. What is the process of kind of selecting the workshop that will be taught and provided at the center?
Yeah.
Is it, do you do the selection, or do you give a chance to every applicant? Like, could you tell us more about the process of applying with the workshop and then selecting the workshop?
Yeah. Well, we can't say yes to everybody.
Right.
There's number one, there's not enough time. And number two, not everything's aligned with our mission. Which is love and transformation. And there's lots of ways of getting there. But as far as like the Maharo's ways of getting there, it's not everything. And I think from the outside looking in, sometimes spiritual practices or healing practices, it's like, oh, they're all the same and you can do them all. But our space is very like Reiki, crystals, breathwork, hypnotherapy, these types of things.
No Kundalini yoga?
We do some Kundalini yoga. We do. Kundalini is
good. Okay. Because it is lava transformation.
It's amazing. Kundalini is amazing. We have an events curator, Morgan Murray, who, you know, I help her out a little bit. We work together, but she's the main person who's in charge of the events.
The program manager.
Yeah, exactly.
You put it in the terms of like different world.
Yeah.
This world. Okay.
Yeah. Events curator, we call her.
Okay. So do you receive a lot of applicants? How it's been going?
We do. We do. And she's really good about, you know, talking to as many people as possible. We don't always get to talk to everybody. But, you know, the funny thing, I teach a spiritual business class also. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about marketing and websites and the social media. The thing with websites, the content is important, but I feel like the vibration comes through. When you go to a website, you feel the vibration of a place.
Oh, yeah.
So when people,
you guys have done an amazing job, by the way.
Oh, thank you,
Maharo. The website it does project a certain vibration.
Oh, thank
you. It's very warm.
Yeah. So when people send us their websites, going to them and just feeling the vibration of the website, and is this a vibration that would fit well with Maharo's? And it's not a right or wrong thing, but it's like, is it in alignment with what we're doing?
This is so cool. I think it's going to be in the next kind of job title. Not content creator, but website selector by vibration, or specialist, vibrational specialist in selecting the website.
Totally. Well, that's the spiritual business class that I'm teaching. Okay. And yeah, and to promote that, I'm doing a weekend retreat upstate in May 4th to the 6th at our upstate retreat center.
Oh, yeah, tell us a bit more of those.
Well, that's the first one of the season. We're about to go upstate and start planning the gardens and getting ready for the season. We have a geodesic dome coming, which is really exciting, and offer retreats up there May through October. So that's the first retreat of the season. And it's a vibrational business class. So everything from the energetics, meditation, intention, life purpose, to the real earth realm, marketing, accountants, finances, numbers, lawyers.
So who would be a prospect for this masterclass, workshop, retreat?
Right. So anyone, of course, who is or wants to be a healer, who's already practicing or wants to have a spiritual business, but it's also for people who just would like to bring more spirituality into their work, whether they work at somebody else's company or have their own company and would just like to lead it with more spiritual values.
I think we all need that.
Right. It's for anybody. Anyone could get something out of this.
So guys, if you're interested in taking this workshop, I think the information is on the website. So
MahaRose.com.
Yes. Go there and sign up. And also, since it's a live show, I totally forgot to announce our call-in number, which is 718-928-9732. If you are a big fan of Maharos, just like myself, or if you are God seeker, love seeker, if you are on the journey, just give us a call at 718-928-9732 and we'll send you a punch of divine love along with the information, of course. Awesome. So Lisa, your journey is quite interesting and not very common. I feel that a lot of people who come to, at least from my experience, I forget that I always need to make a reference that this is just my reality, not everybody else's reality. But the people I meet usually get to a spiritual awakening journey when something bad happens in their life, mm-hmm. either trauma or depression or the loss of their loved one, or just some negative event, some crisis that makes them rethink and reevaluate their life, and then they just kind of get to all these healing tools and practices. But your journey seemed to be a bit more positive. It was kind of just an organic part of your searching around and trying to figure out life in New York. Right. Is that the case?
There was some trauma. Of course there was trauma.
Okay, we are getting into the juice story here.
And generally, you're absolutely right that it's not until we're suffering that we seek greater answers and deeper meaning in life. And suffering is wonderful for that. So when people come to see me for healing and they're like, my life is falling apart, I say, that's great. That's great, because now now there's an opening.
We can save,
There's an opening. When everything's going our way, we're generally not looking for deeper meaning or deeper connection. So, my trauma was early childhood stuff. Really fun. My early healing work, which predated Maha Rose, with Padma, with some other teachers, was to do a lot of my own healing and some relationships in my family that I was like, I have to get tools and evolve myself, or I'm going to keep falling into the same patterns mm-hmm. with people.
That's
kind of vague,
right? If it's too personal, then I still understand. But do you want to shed some light on the feelings or the patterns that you were experiencing? It's fine if you don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, at this point, there's been so much healing that I don't want to say my mom, my dad, mm-hmm. my brother, my sister, mm-hmm. because we're all in a really good place.
Thank God.
Thank you, God. But certainly there were some patterns set up from childhood that I didn't want to continue. Mm-hmm. And I mean, those patterns were just you know, what are they now? Being wanting to be the good girl. You know, there was a lot of instability in my home, and I think that caused me to want to be the peacekeeper. I was a middle child, mm-hmm. want to make sure everybody else was okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some things, you know, that would maybe set me up for being a healer, like being diplomatic and being able to connect with people and hear both sides of the stories. But, you know, myself having to be careful to not over, you know, extend myself too much and do the work for other people, because we can't do the work for anybody else, and we can't save anybody else. That was certainly a really early spiritual awakening message one time on retreat with Amma, like, I can't save anybody. And I remember just crying for probably a couple of days, like how painful that I couldn't save anybody. I couldn't save my parents from, mm-hmm. you know, their sorrows and the divorce. And, you know, I can't save anybody. And it's something that I teach a lot of Reiki classes, and I work with a lot of healers and people waking up to their healing abilities. And it's something that I really emphasize, you know, we can't save anybody else. And our work is to just do our own healing. And, you know, surprisingly, or, you know, as we do our own work, it does affect other people.
Exactly.
So instead of healing dad directly, if I work on healing myself, you know, dad or my relationship with dad is going to shift. And it's not that I'm healing him, because I can't heal him. Okay. And as healers, we're not healing anybody else. Everybody has to do their own work, but we can hold space for people. We can help them along the way, but everyone has to do their own work.
Thank you so much for sharing. I'm also working through the childhood trauma, and your story with your father just kind of reminded me that by forgiving my father and by working through my own feelings toward my father, I've been able to improve our relationship so drastically that I can see a change in my dad. Like, I can see how I just lit him up every time I call him, how he starts calling me more frequently. Yeah. And he hasn't done any work on himself.
Right.
I did all the work.
Right.
But well, we both have benefited from it so much that it's almost like now a joint effort. Although I'm telling you, my dad did not do anything.
Right.
Oh, he's just going to stop drinking, but still. Okay. So it does. Seriously, it does affect everyone around us. Mm-hmm. So even sometimes I feel that some people who are early in this journey might feel, oh, why do I need to do all the work and not the other person? If, let's mm-hmm. say, they're working through the relationship. No, you cannot think that way. You have to do the work, and trust me, your work will affect the other person as well.
Yeah. You do your own work. Don't worry about anybody else, and let yourself be pleasantly surprised by the results.
And they're coming. They're coming soon. I feel like we've had just such a vulnerable moment. So we'll probably take a 2-minute break with the music. And you can also go and run to the bathroom. I just revealed your small secret on the radio. Okay, guys, this is What Is Love show. And we'll be back with you in about 2 minutes on Radio Free Brooklyn. Stay tuned.
Acaba, madre vida y luz de amor, te agradezco por mi vida, por mi aliento y por mi voz, te agradezco por mis sueños y el latir de un corazón, por el sol de cada día, por el agua y su sabor. Por el aire, por el viento, por el fuego y su calor, por mi gente, por mi pueblo y el cantar de esta canción. Por mi tierra y mi familia, porque son parte de mí y yo siendo parte. Puedo ser parte de ti, y yo siendo parte de ellos, puedo ser parte de ti, Palomita.
estamos los dos. Y así quiere Pachacama que nos amemos los dos. Pachamama y Pachacama, madre vida y luz de amor, te agradezco por mi vida, por mi aliento y por mi voz. Te agradezco por mis sueños y el latir de un corazón. Por el sol de cada día, por el agua y su sabor, por el aire y por el viento, por el fuego y su calor, por mi gente, por mi pueblo y el cantar de esta canción.
Hello, 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 hello. This is What Is Love Show with Sasha Sugar on Radio Free Brooklyn. And today you have, and I have, and y'all have, and the world has this beautiful light of the life, Lisa Levine, the creator and the founder of Maha Rose, one of the most beautiful and loving spiritual communities and centers that I personally have seen in New York. And I've been on this journey, so guys, I have tried a lot. Trust me on that. So we've just spoken about Lisa's personal journey and what Maha Rose is, and I think I'm personally curious about where Maha Rose is heading. And I know we don't know the answers, but where do you personally see Maha Rose? I mean, it's quite a small, in a way, it's pretty small center, mm-hmm. although you have a lot of different workshops and a large community, but even space-wise, it's quite small. Mm-hmm. Like, have you thought of potentially opening up another center or just increasing the space? That's one of the questions. Also, there are a lot of centers start opening up around the city in Brooklyn and Manhattan. Do you feel that you've got a lot of competition now going on? Like, let's talk a bit.
Business.
Let's talk business. Exactly.
There is, you know, we definitely talk about opening another center. I think this year, you know, we're going to be focusing even more on Maha Rose North, our retreat center upstate. So
how far is it from Manhattan?
It's 2 hours, and you can take the train or the bus. It's really easy to get to. And I'm such a firm, I'm a firm believer in the 2-hour workshops, and especially, you know, you experience the breath work. You can go really deep in 2 hours, but imagine, you know, if you can go that deep in 2 hours, how deep you can go in 2 days or
weekend,
3 days
absolutely.
Or a week. So I... Mm-hmm. love even more going deeper in with people over time. So we've been doing, you know, and I was just in Mexico. We had 3 retreats down there. I taught a Reiki Masters retreat for a week. Sarah Seeley taught a Thai, intuitive Thai therapy retreat. And then Saw and Moon DeSimone led a Rewrite Your Healing retreat. And just the before and afters of all the people who came and participated in those retreats was just mind-blowing and heart-shattering. And so this year, we're you know, that's been a focus for the past couple years, but just continuing to focus on growing the retreat center upstate. Mm-hmm. We're increasing the gardens. We're going to get chickens so that we can provide.
So wait, you have a physical location
upstate. Yeah, yeah, sorry. Okay. There's a...
We are very close, but I don't know how to read your mind just yet.
There, we have a 10-acre property upstate in Hurley, which is just outside of Woodstock.
And, damn, girl.
Yeah, and we can hold about 12 to 15 people indoors. And, you know, we had a small workshop space, and this year we're getting the geodesic dome, which I'm really excited about. If you've ever been in one, they're really magical. And that's going to be in the woods on the property for the workshops. So this year, get out of the city, come do a retreat upstate. Next year, maybe the year after, we'll talk about another space in the city. Okay. And definitely, you know, the angels are kind of whispering to us. But it's a big commitment. And right now, you know, I spend the winters in Mexico. We have Maha Rose South that we're slowly building down there. And I don't want to spread us too thin.
Okay. So you have another center in Mexico.
We have land in Mexico and we'll be beginning building later this year. But these past 2 years, we're still going down and we're doing retreats. We're renting a guest house. And Maha Rose South already exists, but we're going to have our own physical location in the next couple of years.
Wow, this is so great. It's so exciting.
Yeah, so right now it's retreats, and when it's time
to... So I'm cool with retreats, but some of the audience might think, what are those retreats? Right. And you've got to drop a few cool names, you know, right. The rewrite your history and the Reiki certificate number one and right. Thai intuitive. If you were to demystify those things to the love seekers and the God seekers, could you tell us a bit?
Well, Maha Rose basically has two sets of clients. We have people who are coming for their own personal healing.
Like myself.
Yeah. And then the second set is people who are coming because they're waking up to their own healing potential and want to do trainings in Reiki, hypnotherapy, the Thai therapy, astrology, tarot, crystals. So those are kind of the two different groups of people that we work with. And often the first group, you know, after you've done your own healing, then you're like, wait, I could totally be doing this too. And like you said also that a lot of healers came to be healers from their own wounds. And that's how we get on this healing path. So the retreats upstate, there's a good number of retreats that are healing retreats. And then there's a good number that are trainings for people who are, interested in learning Reiki, interested in hypnotherapy. We're going to have a 4-part hypnotherapy training this summer with Shauna Cummins, which
she was a guest really on excited on my about. Show.
Yay.
2 months ago.
She's amazing.
Hey, Shauna, if you're listening, they're talking about you.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that one. And so whether you're coming for healing or you're coming to learn how to be a healer. We've got both.
How to run a healing business.
Or how to run your own healing business.
Yeah, girl, you've got it all.
What do you need?
What do you need?
Hopefully we can help you.
Great. Wow, so exciting. So what about the, have you been to other spiritual centers in New York? Do you feel like is it something of interest to you to know what others are doing? Or you know exactly what you need to be doing?
Right.
You know, you have the guidance through the angels, from the divine. And you're on the path. Or how do you feel about networking? How do you feel? And I think also I kind of wanted to touch base on any potential issues within the spiritual community as the industry, because it has become an industry. Yeah. And as any industry, we all love in here and we all want to spread the light. But when business and money and also manipulations come into place, then when things can get a bit... trickier. So if you could
share
any of those experiences or your opinion on that, that'd be great.
I've been trying to get out more and just, you know, do things like this and, you know, lead classes in Manhattan, because most, you know, 90% of the work that I do is from Maha Rose in Brooklyn, from my own little nest, and I'm very comfortable there and I love it, but not everybody makes it all the way out to Greenpoint. So
I know. I mean, you made it sound as far away, and a lot of people in Manhattan think that Brooklyn and Greenpoint is far away. Right. It's not that far, but okay, I get the point.
It's not that far. So I've been going out and doing things at other places and slowly checking other places out. But I'm a pretty busy woman. I have a 2.5-year-old also. And between running the business and being a mom, you know, I don't get to go out and check out all the new spaces that are opening up. And, you know, the wellness industry, which is, really kind of...
Boosting.
Yeah. And it's really exciting, you know, that people are opening up and wanting this. With that, you know, I think there's a lot of people who are maybe doing it because they see it as a financial potential opportunity. And, you know, in the spiritual business class I teach, like, you know, don't get into this business for the money. Like, it's not the business to get into if you're trying to be really rich. I mean, you might get really rich, but that's not why you should be in the spiritual or healing business. You know, it's really a life calling, and it's between you and God, you and Goddess. Like, if this is what you're called to do, do it. But if you're like, oh, that looks like I could do that, and, you know, it's really hot right now, like, that's not the right reason to be doing this work. It won't work.
I'm glad you mentioned that just like explicitly.
Yeah, it just
have the right intention, your people, before getting into this business, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But you haven't really experienced or heard of any shady things happening or not so beautiful things happening.
I mean, we're all still human, so there's gonna be, you know, I'm not an enlightened being. I make mistakes, you know, we're not perfect, and we're all here to learn. We're all growing. We're all hopefully trying to evolve. So
hopefully.
Yeah, things happen. I don't think people have malicious intentions, but of course things happen. And you know, what can we do? Things are going to happen.
you just got to be honest about that.
Yeah, you know, being as honest with ourselves as possible, being honest and upfront with other people. You know, and if your life work is connected to your spiritual path, you know, whatever your blocks are, your challenges are, they're going to come up in your work. You know, it's not that there's such a separation, like, I just go to work, you know. And even people who aren't in spiritual businesses, whatever our issues are, they're going to come out where, you know, most likely in all these different areas of our life. So in our work, in our relationships, in our family, it's not, oh, I'm having problems in one area, but they don't affect me in another area. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think you're that spot on. And it kind of goes to what I spoke with Andre J.
Hey!
Last time. By the way, Andre J. is teaching a workshop now, I believe next Saturday, on
Embrace Your Beauty.
Exactly. So y'all go on the website and sign up. So we were talking with Andre about how crucial it is to be able to integrate whatever learnings and spiritual healing you receive into day-to-day life, because otherwise it just doesn't make any sense and it's pointless. So I it's almost like sometimes I feel, oh, why am I at the job I'm having? Because, you know, I have a day job. This is not my, I wish it was my day job. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I all these people that I don't possibly connect on this spiritual level? But then I understand, well, Sasha, but you need to learn how to apply everything you learn everywhere, anywhere, with anyone. And then conditional love and acceptance and authentic interaction, you got to learn how to do it absolutely anywhere. So that's a good test for you. Lisa, have you, if you were to give any advice to our audience or those who want to heal, who want to become better, who want to get, and by your people, when I say become better, it's not because you're not good. I mean, you're amazing, but become better, I mean, find the best of yourself and get to the truth of yourself. Are there any maybe books or teachings or lectures or just spiritual healers that you'd recommend?
I mean,
or that the ones who have the biggest impact on you?
Amma, number one. She's my number one, and she comes to New York generally. She's been coming to America every year for the past 25 years or more, and she's usually in New York in the beginning of July. And you can get a free hug. It does take a little while, but there's lots of things to do while you're there. There's music, you can meditate, there's food.
Where does she usually come?
Last year, she actually came to New Jersey, which usually she comes to Javits, or before that, she was coming to the Manhattan Center. But last year, she came to New Jersey, and I'm not sure what the plan is this year yet, but it's worth the trek to New Jersey. And yeah, she's my number one.
Actually, she was your spiritual guide in a way. How did you guys connect?
I went with Padma again, my dear friend and Reiki teacher, in 2007. We went and got a hug, and it didn't happen instantly.
That's what I was about to ask.
Yeah, it wasn't an instant thing, but I went back the next day, and then I went back the next day, and then in the fall, I was still in fashion, and I was going to Paris for a trade show, and Padma had gone straight to India, straight to the ashram, and I said, oh, I'll come visit you. I'm going to be in Paris halfway there. And I went, and before I got there, she had emailed me and was like, it's really intense here. And I was like, I'm on a spiritual path.
And I'm ready.
Yeah. And when I got there, I was like, whoa, I'm like a kindergartner. And this is PhD level spirituality.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So it was strong. And the temple there is to Kali, which, if you know Kali, she's...
Yeah.
A loving but fierce mother
who cuts
off all the heads of our negative tendencies.
Is it beautiful?
Yeah, she loves us.
But, wow. Do you think it's how crucial it is to have a spiritual mentor or an advisor or, you know, big sister or big brother when you're in the journey?
I do think it's, yes. I think it's very helpful. We can learn things from books, but... you know, learning from someone who's walked the path and is there, you know, I feel really blessed in my life. I've always had amazing teachers when I was younger, art teachers, and I've had amazing healing teachers. And Amma, I feel like has been the most amazing spiritual teacher for me. And yeah, I mean, we don't have to do it alone. And I think America or Westerners, like, we want to, you know, do it all ourselves and be independent and, But why? Why? Yeah. There's so much help and so much support available for us if we allow it.
Yeah. But even every religion talks about you can praise the God and worship the God by yourself, but it's only in the community that's where the true love is born. And that's where the true kind of divinity is presents.
The collective itself is powerful in the community, which I think is one thing that people really do get from Maharos.
From Maharos, yeah.
The community.
Yeah.
And it's exponential, you know. I do a lot of group work and teach a lot in groups, and it's so magic and so powerful what happens when we come together in group.
Well, at least unfortunately, I told you before the show that the hour would just pass by extremely fast. We have 1 minute left. Thank you so much. You're just a beautiful angel on this earth, and we're all grateful for you. We're all grateful for Maharos. Guys, if you've not heard of Maharos, I hope you got super curious. Go check out the website, sign up for workshops, sign up for retreats. It's really life-changing. And we have seriously, 10 seconds since it's the What Is Love show. So, Lisa, what is love to you?
Love is a practice. It's not just something that comes. Yes, sometimes grace just brings it on, but it's a practice.
All right. That's great. Well, guys, have a blessed Sunday afternoon and go practice some love.
Ooh. I be the feminine. I flow with the sacredness. I bow to the one, the soul of my soul. I see the twinkle of a sun's rising, the new dawning, flashing colors in front of my eyes, a future brighter than a lonely star. My crystal vision activated, never tainted. I stay love sedated. The breath is the breath permeating me. When you feel like ain't nothing going right, always go to thee. You better recognize uttering the words of truth will bless you.